A former chairman of the Texas Republican Party, Tom Pawkin, has a new book out called Bringing America Home, How America Lost Her Way and How We Can Find Our Way Back. Tom, good morning. Welcome to the Sunrise Morning Show.
Hey, good to be with you, Brian.
We're seeing America becoming increasing liberal at the highest levels of government. Some are calling for reinvention of conservatism. Do you think that's the best solution?
Well, it depends on what you mean. I think if we get back to our founding principles, we'd be well served. I have a chapter in the book entitled Coarsening of the Culture. And when our founding fathers first came to this nation, the first words of the Mayflower Compact were, "In the name of God, amen." And as Alexander Solzhenitsyn warned us, he warned of what happened in the Soviet Union. He used the term "man of forgotten God." And after the fall of communism, he came to the West and said, "You people are falling into the same trap." And he told us that in the United States, and he told the Western Europeans. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of truth to that. So we've got to get back to our fundamental principles. And at the end of the day, it's the culture that counts most. And I think, quite frankly, you know, the Catholic influence on the conservative movement was very strong in the early days. The author of The Conscience of a Conservative by Barry Goldwater was actually Brent Bozell, a Catholic. Ronald Reagan's father was a Catholic. His brother was a Catholic, and he had, a Catholic understanding of human nature, and a lot of Catholics were in the Reagan administration, including myself. Ironically, in the post-Reagan Republican period, Catholic influence has really diminished, and I think we've gotten away from, you know, sort of a, I think there's something within Catholicism that understands human nature. The Federalist Papers, which talk about if men were angels and we're not, unless we need separation of powers, checks and balances, and a return to the principle of subsidiary, if you will. Power should be as much as possible divested to the states, the local communities, and the people themselves, not concentrated in Washington, as we've seen in recent decades.
Yeah, and these terms, liberal and conservative, they've been so manipulated, really they're kind of meaningless now. Do you think that's the fault of the media, or do you think that conservatives share some of the blame for that?
Well, I think that, unfortunately, as I talk about in my book, the conservative movement has been the hijacking of the conservative movement in the post-Reagan period by a group of people who are not philosophical conservatives. They're Machiavellian pragmatists or neoconservative ideologues, and the neoconservatives who I work with in the Reagan administration were originally liberal Democrats, social Democrats, who drifted into the Republican Party, but they're very much opposed to our traditional values. They're totally focused on foreign policy, totally concentrated on the idea of using military force to impose democracy on the Middle East. And it's very different from the Reagan approach to win the Cold War, where we had a strategy which understood that as much as possible, only send American troops into harm's way when the national interest is involved and the mission is clear. And as one who served as I did in Vietnam, you see the law of unintended consequences when you say, send our soldiers off to war.
Well, in looking back at the Reagan years and, of course, and the influence of John Paul II, between John Paul II and Ronald Reagan, history was just changed forever during that time, wasn't it?
Brian, you're absolutely right, and people do not appreciate how close John Paul II and Ronald Reagan were. They were, ironically, assassins attempted to kill him both at around the same time and narrowly missed, and they worked very closely together. Frank Shakespeare, the wonderful ambassador to the Vatican, has told me many stories about the liaisons that took place in terms of the close work to Reagan administration helping Solidarity, L'Equivalenza in Poland, and John Paul II, of course, going to Poland, his native land, and really standing up to the communists. And I think it was Lenin who said, how many divisions does a pope have? Well, he had plenty, and ultimately communism fell, and I think John Paul II worked very closely with Ronald Reagan, and both were instrumental in making that happen. Maggie Thatcher also helped, and quite frankly, the the prophetic voice of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote about the Gulag and whose works were smuggled out of the Soviet Union, and who's a great Orthodox Christian, also influenced that situation there.
Reagan was such a dynamic leader, made no bones about his conservatism, and of course we know that the political scene in this country ebbs and flows, but at that time it seemed like, you know, there was a role that could never be stopped, but the conservative movement has really fallen on hard times, hasn't it?
Well, that's one of the arguments in my book, Bringing America Home. The post-Reagan Republican leaders really squandered the political capital that Goldwater Reagan conservatives took more than three decades to build up. I'm a native Texan, went off to Georgetown University in the early 60s, back when it was still a strong Catholic university. It's Catholic in name, but not that much aligned with the views of the church anymore in the modern days, but it was back then. And, you know, I was part of something that was really strong, and it's just very disappointing to see a group of opportunists come along in the post-Reagan period and really take over the conservative movement. And we've got to take it back. And I think we can, because I think the people sense the seriousness of the moment. Unfortunately, so many of our political leaders, including Republican leaders in Washington, aren't doing anything, in my judgment, to get this economic situation turned around. I mean, we've lost one-third of our manufacturing base in the last decade. Those are good jobs that have been outsourced to other nations or have simply gone away. The only growth in jobs is government jobs over the past decades. No private sector job growth nationally. That's got to change. You've got to have economic policies to encourage savings and capital investment here in the U.S. in order to bring good jobs home to America. And I've got, in Bringing America Home, of a proposal to do that, to level the playing field with our trading competitors, and to really change the tax system in order to encourage savings and capital investment here in the U.S. There's no reason why Michigan, which has lost nearly 20% of its private sector jobs over the decade, was once a great manufacturing center, can't begin to rebuild some of that manufacturing base in Ohio and other industrial states. But we've got to take the Wall Street guys out of control of our economy, and they have dominated it really in the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, and continuing with Tim Geithner in the Obama administration. And we've got to go back to economics that favor Main Street America, small businesses, entrepreneurs, and the middle class, who are sliding downward economically in our economy, as I talk about in Bringing America Home.
Tom, I'm going to ask you to go out on a limb here. Who do you think is best suited to lead the conservative movement into the future?
Well, that's a great question, Brian. I think there's an absence of leadership right now. There's some good people out there who I think get it in part, but I just don't see anybody who's really kind of put it all together as Ronald Reagan did back when he united the social and economic conservatives and really the majority of Americans. And you said earlier, Brian, you talked about right versus left. Well, Ronald Reagan had a good term. It's not right versus left. It's really up versus down. And how do we turn this nation around? I've got 7 children, 11 grandchildren. I've had a very fortunate and blessed life, but I don't like what I see on the horizon for our children and grandchildren. We've got to right the ship and turn it back in the right direction, just like our own Catholic Church went through some difficult times. And but I think Pope Benedict has done a marvelous job, in as well as John Paul II. Those two leaders have done a marvelous job in turning the church back in the right direction. And his understanding of the problems we face, I quote him in the book, the dictatorship of relativism, what's happened in a post-Christian Europe, and how we've got to re-Christianize the West if we're going to combat the serious threat of radical Islam. And so I, you know, at the moment, I don't mean to be evasive, but I just don't see anybody who jumps out at me. But we've got a lot of elections coming up this fall, and somebody could emerge.
We hope they do. I certainly don't have the answers on that either. Finally, Tom, before we let you go, how do you think the Catholic notion of stewardship can be applied to our current economic crisis to try to dig our way out of this?
Well, I think we've got to go back. You know, we've gone away from our traditional principles. It's not just stewardship, but of savings and thrift and putting money away for the rainy day to sort of living for today. And the Catholic Church really, I think, teaches us obviously to give back to our community, our faith, our church, and also emphasizes the importance of our social responsibility. We've gotten kind of in this notion of government's going to solve all our problems and just move the power to Washington. The irony is, I think now is a time for decentralization and returning power, neighbor helping neighbor. I was just with an individual yesterday who's working in really a tough, drug-ridden, homeless area in South Dallas, in my home community, and it's a Christian approach, which is critical, because really we've got to, at the end of the day, even if we get economic policy fixed, even if we get foreign policy fixed, if we don't get our culture back to its Christian principles, then it all will fall apart. You have to have that underpinning in order for a free market system to work, and in order for the kind of ethical compass that guides our constitutional republic.
Yeah. All right. Great conversation with Tom Pockin, former chair of the Texas Republican Party. Your book, Bringing America Home, How America Lost Her Way and How We Can Find Our Way Back, is linked on our blog at sunrisemorningshow.com. Tom, we hope to have you back on the show soon.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me. Enjoyed the conversation. And by the way, I learned on your blog about the appointment of Archbishop Gomez to Los Angeles, a great appointment. He's been a terrific archbishop in San Antonio and our state, and our loss is Los Angeles' gain.
He'll be a great gift to the largest archdiocese in the country. Thank you, Tom Pockin, for joining us on the Sunrise Morning Show.